You're listening to the Tillage Podcast with the Irish Farmers Journal, supported by Bayer Crop Science.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Tillage Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh, recording on Wednesday evening. It's the 1st of May for your records later on. Coming up, we talk fieldwork. Hear part two of Lincolnshire farmer Andrew Ward's talk. We look at this week's tillage pages from the tramlines, have the latest news from awards to breweries, and as always, we have the grain market and weather reports. First up, though, fieldwork. And what an amount of work has been done in the past 2 weeks. I mean, it's unbelievable, really. You know, there's a month or more's work gone on in the last 2 weeks. People managed to get on top of husbandry in their winter crops and get on top of planting as well. Reports from across the country look about 80 to 85% of cereals and beans sown in the Midlands. You go to the Northeast and you're at about 70% in the Northeast. You go to Wexford, and North Wexford have gone on quite well, but a lot to be planted in South Wexford. Move down south, Cork, and you know, a place like South Tipperary, 90% finished, maybe 95% there on beans. And of course, look, there's plenty of other crops to go in. I was talking to someone in Cork today, 75% of the beet is in down there, about 50% of the maize, but lots of maize and beet not planted across the country. But people making a particular effort this year, I think, to get beet in on time in particular, and maybe sacrificing a cereal crop in order to get the beet in. Obviously, think, you know, there's a market there to get it in on time. And then, of course, potato farmers just have a lot of work ahead of them. So I suppose it's important to remember, while there's a lot of people have finished planting, there are also people who still have a lot of work to do. A lot of that wetter land, you know, takes time to dry out, and the rain that we've got now this week from, you know, there was showers over the weekend, but in some parts then the heavy rain came Sunday and more of it on Monday. So people have been stopped, tried to go again this week, but it's showery now and severe heavy showers, so work is going to be delayed now. So I suppose just spare a thought for those people who still have a lot of work to do, because there's a lot of them out there. And to those people, I suppose, don't be afraid to ask for help either, because there are people finished up, and maybe there's a plough or a drill, or there's someone who can help out with the workload. The most important thing anyway is, you know, to try not put yourself under pressure and to keep safe. Plenty of management to be done. I suppose the thing that's in my head is, if you had beans in, they're coming up very quickly. So if the pre-emergent isn't on, get it on as soon as possible, and just keep an eye that the beans aren't coming up to, you know, that they're not breaking through before you apply it. So get it on as soon as possible, I would say, because while it's cold outside, a lot of the evenings there, the soil seems to be very warm, because crops that are planted are just striking in no time at all. Growth regulator also due on winter barley. There's fungicides to go out for sclerotinia on oilseed rape, where the petals are falling. A lot of T1s still going out on winter wheat, and I suppose just remember to plan your T1s and your T2s and your winter wheat, that you don't end up using the same products, and make sure you have Folpet in there as well. A lot of rust around. I got a picture from someone today from one of the mist patches, and it was a crop of graham winter wheat, and there was very bad rust and septoria on the crop, and then in a patch where the sprayer missed in the corner, that was where the rust and the septoria was, and then the crop had got a T0 of tire prawn and comet, astrobilurin, and the crop was extremely clean. So it just shows you the benefit, in that case certainly, of that T0, and indeed for rust control. Look, hopefully the weather picks up and allows everyone to go about their business. Some good news this week as well. Diageo has got the go ahead for its brewery. So we had Pat O'Toole on a few weeks ago. He told us about the hold up in the planning application. So here's Pat now with the latest update.
Yeah, the brewery is going ahead in Newbridge. There was an objection, as we talked about before, Siobhan. Mm-hmm. So that objection has now been withdrawn. There were proceedings going to the High Court. The planning was originally granted for the brewery in Newbridge, a 200 million investment by Diageo, which would have been brewing beers. There's a range of Diageo beers and ales, including Hophouse, Rockshore, Harp, Kilkenny, and Smithwick's.
Yeah.
And the plan is to relocate all of that brewing away from James's Gate and put it in this new state-of-the-art carbon neutral brewery in Newbridge in Kildare, and allowing the James's Gate site to focus completely on Guinness. So very exciting when it was announced. Granted planning by Kildare County Council in March of 2023.
Yeah.
There were two objections, one withdrawn, the other went ahead to On Board Planola, but the planning was upheld. And then the complainant, John Lynch, decided to proceed to the High Court, which is his right, of course. And so it was expected it would be the third quarter of the year before proceedings would take place in the High Court. And John Lynch said in our pages when I interviewed him about a month ago that he would be willing to go all the way to the Supreme Court in pursuit of his objections against the brewery being located in Newbridge. He wasn't against the brewery being built. He wanted it built in a tie. He felt that that was the proper location for it.
Okay.
So there's been obviously negotiations and discussions since we printed our article.
Great reaction to that article, Pat. In fairness, once you published that article, we had a lot of letters to the editor for farmers and farm organisations as well. And we can't underestimate, you know, the power that has, you know, when people do voice their opinion on these things.
Yeah. And I think also discussions took place between John Lynch and Diageo. And we also know that Bourke Malt had indicated back in early March at the Diageo Grain Grower Awards,
yeah,
that they were planning a linked expansion of their malting facility in Athy.
Yeah.
So we were going to get an expansion in malting barley demand, in malting in Athy, and in brewing on the island,
yeah,
with the Newbridge facility. So Mr. Lynch has now withdrawn his objection. It goes ahead, and we expect construction to start very soon. Martin Hayden, who of course is the Minister of State and is in South Kildare himself, was first out of the blocks with a reaction, and he said that it was a vote of confidence for the sector and for the region as a location for investment and employment. And he pointed out that the Bourkmont facility is a major supplier to Diageo. The risk to the loss of that market, should the new brewery have not proceeded in Ireland, would have been a major blow. And what he's talking about there is the sense that if Diageo couldn't move ahead with the build in this country in the near future, that there will be a parallel to what happened with Apple in Athy, in Athenry. And where Apple decided to abandon Ireland as a location for their facility altogether.
Yeah.
And there would be advantages like for Diageo to brew in somewhere like Antwerp, a major port where they can very easily ship all over the world. Mm-hmm. A huge proportion of these beers are exported. As much as we think we consume beer in Ireland, actually the majority of the beer brewed, as well as the Guinness, is for export. It's a global operation. And Bourke Malt, of course, is a global operation, the second largest maltster on the planet. So there were fears that there would be. And the IFA were out of the blocks. They had arranged a meeting with Bourke Malt for today, in advance of this announcement. So I think there'll be a very different atmosphere at that meeting now that both Bourke Malt and farmers know that the brewery will proceed at Newbridge, and that the Athy expansion is now very likely. So it's good news for farmers, it's good news for malting barley, it's good news for employment in the country, and
Absolutely.
It's good news for beer drinkers.
Great news, absolutely, Pat. Pat, I won't let you go without asking you, what's the weather like down in Wexford? What are things looking like in the fields?
The 1st of May today, and it's a shocker of a day so far. But there was a lot of progress made in the northern half of the county. The southern half of the county is further behind.
Yeah.
The weather broke on Sunday night, and it's broken for the week. We expect there to be very little planting opportunities before next Monday. So we're looking at a situation for the second year running. There's going to be a fairly significant amount of spring planting taking place in May.
Yeah.
It's very rarely it happens, and to happen 2 years in a row is unusual. And I think Irish tillage farmers are going to have to look at adaptation measures to what is a changed weather pattern, a changed climate. And maybe splitting out our crops is going to have to be one of those. So we're not so reliant on good weather in March and April for spring planting.
Mm. Well, in the meantime, Pat, we hope the weather picks up and lets those farmers with, and because there is plenty of stuff still to go in. So we hope the weather picks up for those farmers who still have it left. Pat, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Irish growers and agronomists know Askra to be the trusted and reliable choice for wheat crops. Askra delivers the broadest spectrum of disease control on all the key wheat diseases, alongside proven plant health benefits in a simple one-can solution at T1. With a flexible dose rate to suit your crop, you can be sure that whatever the disease, drilling date, variety or weather, you only have to use Askra. Askra X-Pro was formulated using Bayer's unique leaf shield technology, ensuring growers get the maximum benefit for their cash. For more information, please contact your local agrochemical supplier or visit the Bayer Crop Science website at www.bayercropscience.ie.
Also in the news this week, the IFA are travelling to Antwerp, or they travelled to Antwerp today, rather Wednesday, and to meet the top officials in Bortmalt. I understand Francie Gorman travelled as well, the president, and they were meeting Ivan Shepman, the CEO of Bortmalt, over in Belgium on Wednesday. And that Bortmalt price went up this week, actually. I'll get to that later on. Staying in line with Diageo, the Guinness Regenerative Agriculture Awards were announced this week. Nicky Keane from Wexford won the overall award, while Bobby Miller from County Laois was highly commended by the judges. So well done to those. Okay, next up we have more from Andrew Ward. So Andrew was on last week. You all know him. Many of you will know him from YouTube. He brings out YouTube videos twice a week, and does a lot of talks, and tries to promote and educate people on where their food comes from. So last week he told us about his farm, his soils, black grass issues on his farm, trying no-till on heavier soils, and it's definitely worth a listen back if you didn't hear it. This week Andrew is talking about being paid not to grow food.
So these are our latest payments, so winter bird feeding of those, we get from this year £732 for feeding the birds. Flower rich margins, we've got 6 and 8 metre margins around every field on the farm. This is the rates, it was 628, last year it's 673, it's now gone to £798 a hectare to have wildflowers around the edge of the field. Really, really good payment. And the problem is we've got DEFRA's encouraging us not to grow food, which is a worry. And then winter bird food, we've got winter bird food plots. We put these on difficult areas, wet land behind the wood or on the dyke bank, £853 a hectare. And you saw by the areas the size we've got. And then this 4 metre buffer strips, this bottom one is just grass strips with no flowers. And you can see they don't like that as much because that's £515 a hectare.
Now, Andrew wants to see things change and see proper labelling on products. So here's what he had to say on that.
So I personally would like to see more empty shelves, because I think it will become, they'll realise where they are. And the policy of actually having solar on the fields, encouraging us to go into non-food crops as well, it might impact on this. Solar, here we go. There's thousands and thousands of acres in Lincolnshire going into solar. Lincolnshire, just a bit of history on Lincolnshire, one third of Lincolnshire is below sea level. Below sea level. And yet Lincolnshire provides 27% of the UK vegetables. That land needs managing. And so Lincolnshire is a huge producing county, but we've got a lot of these going up all around. And there's a big one, 3,000 acres going up at the minute, about 20 miles north of Lincoln. So, Mail on Sunday, another situation, another case. This was the headlines of the Daily Mail in 2020. Sorry, Sunday Mail. And this was the genuine headline. I got the paper and that's why I took a photo of it. Horrendous. And this is what we're suffering with now. The government, our government, do not want farmers. And this is why they're encouraging us not to grow food. Trade deals, inferior imports. Well, I'll just touch on this briefly. Trade deals signed with Australia, New Zealand. Trouble with those is they grow sugar cane, which we'll touch on in a minute. Inferior imports as well, grown and produced to lower standards than we do. Input costs rising massively, all as a result of Brexit. Huge, huge problems. Here, Silver Spoon, made from English sugar beet. Tate & Lyle, made from foreign sugar cane. Problem I've got, Union Jack, there. Red Tractor logo, there. Union Jack, there. What does that say? Proudly grown in Britain. If you look at the top here, can't see it, on the back of this pack, it says produced in Britain. Yet that is foreign sugar cane from Australia. That is produced with 32 plant protection products that I am not allowed to use in growing that. That is not right. That is not a level playing field. Massive, massive problem with food labelling and food imports and trade deals being done with countries they shouldn't do.
That sounds very similar to Shukra here in Ireland, but anyway, I'll move on. Andrew has changed things now on his farm and he's growing beans, and that's going to be for baked beans. So he's, and hopefully he'll put it out to other farmers as well.
These are not your ordinary beans. These are the beans that we've grown to make baked beans. Capulet is the variety. So when I have people say to me, and I put on social media, we've grown the very first British crop of baked beans, and I get people say, no, you haven't. We grew them in the 80s, or they've been around a while. Yes, some people grew haricot beans in the 80s, and there's odd ones growing it today. But that is an American or Canadian or Chinese variety. This is a British variety, bred for Britain. And so this is the first crop we grew last year. So we only grew 13 acres of three varieties, but this is us drilling it. We drilled it in the middle of May. See how dusty it was and dry. We had an Amazon sugar beet drill in, a new drill that Amazon just bringing out to precision drill it in rows 20 inches apart to see whether that was better or not and how it grew. Companion crops. One thing we know with these crops are they grow very, very low to the ground, very low to the ground. And I mean some of the pods are on the soil. So we wanted to put a companion crop in to see if it would lift them up a bit. Because obviously, you've seen from other crops, if a crop competes for light, they're all trying to jockey for position and go up to the sky. And you can see here, that picture's better than that. That's because here, the beans are trying to really, really push for light. This is black oats. The cover crop is black oats. So we drilled it at the side here. To get it in the middle of the row, we had to drill the second pass because that Amazon drill, we had to go over and split the row with. So that is a companion crop of black oats. So this is it growing in the middle of the row. This is right in the middle of the season. You can see straight away now how it's pulling the beans up. Really, really good because it's working. It's doing what we wanted to do. You can see the leaves of these crops. These are like soya. And these beans will probably, at this stage, are probably about maybe that high. That's all they are. Then, now, this is in the middle of the season as well, and you can see the pods. These pods here, the bottom of the soil's about here. They're laying on the soil, and this is the problem we have with it. So, this was the picture as getting into harvest. They're just starting to ripen. We've sprayed off the black oats with laser. So we've done that and killed those off so they don't seed. But we've got the volume of straw there. The black oats are probably 3 feet high, 3.5 feet high. And then here, this is harvest time. So you can see now all the leaves have gone, pods laying on the floor, on the soil, and that is harvest time. This is a plant. This is me holding a plant up. So this is what they're like at harvest. You can actually see there's quite a lot of pods on there, but we need to do things a bit better next year and improve it, which I'll explain in a second. We harvested them with a McDon header on the combine. This, we were recommended to do this. We haven't got one of these. That's about 140,000, 130,000 for that header alone, not the combine. That absolutely transformed getting the crop up. So we needed that because you can't quite see it here, but behind here, there's absolutely nothing. The headers of the combine's left absolutely no crop at all. Those are the three varieties we've grown. This is the Capulet, the baked bean. This is Godiva, and this is Olivia. And those other two are cooking beans for going in curries and stews and things like that. You can actually also cook them as we've mixed them last week. If you saw my YouTube video, we actually had a taste for the first time. We had a lunch of Lincolnshire baked beans, Lincolnshire sausages and Lincolnshire jacket potato. And I had 15 people, we had NFU come for lunch. So that's what they look like. So this is the beans as they come off the combine in a bowl. Quite a nice colour, a little bit of staining, but not too bad. Nice colour generally. This is those beans blanched and soaked in water for 2 hours, and then the water drained. So you can see now they're starting to look like baked beans. This is mixing the tomato sauce with it. This is at Prince's. We did the trial at Prince's, the canning place at Spalding. They put 150 grams of beans in the tin and then poured the baked beans, poured the sauce on top of that, and then sealed it. And then here, this is like a giant pressure cooker. These are the tins here, the tins of beans. This is one of the guys who showed us and helped us do the experiment from Prince's. The lid is cut shut and the beans are cooked in the tin. Baked beans are not cooked before they are tinned. They are put in the tin raw and then they're put in a giant, and in the factory behind, this is in their development kitchen. In the factory, they'll have giant ones of these that hold 500 tins in a time. And they cook it for 20 minutes. And then it comes out, then goes through the production line, and the beans are then another 8 days before they reach full maturity and full taste, before they taste right. So they're packed up in boxes, they're on the shipping, they're on lorries, going to the supermarkets, going to shops. All the time that's happening, the transport process is happening, the baked beans are improving all the time. It takes about 8 days for them to get to the best. Then, I just wanted to show you, let's just go back actually before I talk about that. The beans this year, what we're doing, we had 13 acres last year, we've got 190 acres going in this year, which is a bit of a risk, to be honest, because if we've got bad weather, we didn't combine those till the 25th of September because the weather broke before we did them. So it's a bit of a problem. But we're growing three, we're going to put them all in with the precision drill. I've got my sugar beet contractor, we have a chat with a Vardastat Tempo direct drill, comes into the sugar beet, 6 meter, 12 row drill. He's going to drill our these beans. We've only got a certain amount, there's only us growing them. We're trying to get seed multiplication and get the crop, get as many out there as we can and get as many tons of beans as we can. That's why we only had a small amount go to be tinned. We've got 2 tons in a bag in our shed that's going to Prince's to go through their main production line. And then after that, we want the rest of it, we're going to drill this next year and try and get as many tons as we can next year and then get some more farmers on board rather than just rely on us.
Thanks so much to Andrew and BSF. So Andrew was speaking at the BSF Technical Conference back in the springtime. So thanks so much to Andrew and BSF for allowing us to record his talk and share it with you on the podcast. On the tillage pages this week, we have Conor Keogh, our tillage reporter, is sharing his research from his PhD. So Conor is studying in Lyons Estate. I'm just turning the pages on the e-paper here if you heard that noise in the background. So Connor's project focuses on digital data and creating a decision support system basically for farmers so that you could put all of the information from your crop records to your GPS maps and your yield maps and your soil maps, that you could put them all into the one system to help you decide on decisions and I suppose put a bit more perspective on what's going on the farm. So that's all across 2 pages on the tillage pages this week. And on the other page we have, and it's online as well, of course, identifying crop growth stages. So it's that time of year getting into the time of year where we're going to have to be checking on crop growth stages for fungicides and for growth regulators and aphids and everything else. So it's just a little bit of a handy explainer to try and decipher those growth stages in the field. On the Tramlines pages then, Conor is talking to Alex Butler in County Westmeath, Neil Patterson in County Down and Pat Shine in Ardfinnan in County Tipperary. All three farmers have been extremely busy planting. There's details there on how they've been treating their winter crops as well. So well worth a read as always with Conor on the From the Tramlines page. Okay, to grain markets next, and look really positive in the grain markets. Weather mainly looks to be affecting markets at the minute, but a massive rise in the last week. So just to put a bit of perspective on it, French Matif wheat for December closed last week at €240.50 per tonne. That was up from €223 per tonne the Friday before. So the previous week's close, an increase of €17.50. And then on Wednesday afternoon, that price had come back down. So to €233.75 per tonne, but it's still over €10 per tonne over that price the week previous. So that was a positive sign in those markets. Look, there has weather is the main thing, and we know weather is a worry here in Ireland, and it's a worry across Europe as well. I suppose the bigger weather concern is dryness in Russia. So there was reported rain in that dry area this week, which probably helped to bring that price back down a little bit. But still huge concern about weather in different parts across the world, even feeding into the oilseed rape price, which increased this week as well, or over the last week, I should say. You know, there is concerns about the oilseed rape crop in Europe, but also we would import into Europe oilseed rape from Australia, and some concern about whether there will be good conditions to plant oilseed rape in Australia or not. So something to keep an eye on there. Dairy Gold announced prices today, Wednesday, the 1st of May, €185 per tonne for green barley, €203 per tonne for green wheat. And then if you're a drying farmer, add €30 per tonne onto those prices. So they're harvest prices and they were offered today. And then for oilseed rape, €425 per tonne. And as you probably know, a minimum price for beans of €250 per tonne where they're grown on contract. The average price was €265 per tonne for Bort malt this week. That's up €6 per tonne on the week before. But remember, that has to be averaged out across from April to September. And there's a minus €10 per tonne charge on that as well. Okay, to the weather report, and I have the forecast in from Met Éireann. So Friday, mostly cloudy to start with, outbreaks of rain and drizzle in central, eastern and western areas. Temperatures of 12 to 17 degrees, and then at night time 3 to 10 degrees. Forecast for Saturday, showers and longer spells of rain on Saturday, most frequent in the east and northeast, and the brightest and driest weather along with longer sunny spells of sunshine will be in the south and southwest. Temperatures of 12 to 16 or 17 degrees. Sunday, a mix of sunny spells and showers on Sunday. Showers likely to be most frequent in the east of the country. Highest temperatures 12 to 16 or 17 and winds light. Then the outlook for Monday to Wednesday. Current indications suggest a mix of sunny spells and showers for Monday. Tuesday, showers will be very isolated with further sunny spells, and current indications suggest that Wednesday looks a mainly dry day with sunny spells and temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees, and by Wednesday possibly up to 18 degrees Celsius. So really positive there in the forecast for early next week. So that is good to hear. I think everyone will be happy to hear that, because we hope good weather comes to allow people to finish sowing and to get back out and manage their crops. Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks so much to Andrew for participating, for Pat for joining us today, Claire for editing. Hopefully the weather dries up. The main thing is stay safe and keep the tillage flag flying.
We hope you enjoyed the Irish Farmers Journal Tillage Podcast, supported by Bayer Crop Science. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.